You know, my parents, I don't know about your parents, but my parents taught us as teenagers that, you know, we would learn lessons primarily through giving us a little bit of freedom to make decisions. And so as the older we got, my parents began to say, okay, you know what, you're going to have to make your own decision on this. And you're going to have to deal with the consequences of those decisions. Now, at 16 years old, I was not what you would consider, you know, a great decision maker. That wasn't one of my best strengths, okay? And so there were a lot of consequences that I lived with as a teenager. One of those consequences that I lived with was purchasing my first car. Now, I bought my first car. It was a 1986 Ford Tempo. Two doors. Isn't that a beautiful work of art right there? Ford Tempo. I don't know if you any Tempo owners out there. Anybody have a Ford Tempo? No, see, there's a reason that no one raised their hand right there. I bought this off of one of my brother's friends for $750. All right, $750. And the reason I bought it is because my friend installed this really great sound system in the car. And it had a bass in the trunk. Now, this isn't my car, but this is kind of what the bass looked like. Now, the most, you know, that's not very efficient. That's not very usable. You can't really use your trunk for anything, but I thought it was just the coolest thing in the world. And this was really the thing to do when I was growing up. That was what you did in the late 90s, is you got a bass in the trunk, and that would be just the coolest thing in the world. And so I spent most of my time with that car kind of working with the accessories of the car. I got decals, and I got this really cool like seat cover and steering wheel cover, and man, I thought it was just the coolest thing. The problem was that I spent all my time, all my focus, all my energy on the accessories of the car instead of what was actually under the hood. And you can guess what happened. Within probably, I don't know, 9 months or so, the engine block cracked, and the car was finished. But the sound system still worked, so that was cool. Just couldn't go anywhere with it. And I learned two valuable, very valuable lessons that day when the engine block cracked. The first one was to never buy a Ford Tempo. But really, the purpose was, or the one of the first things I learned was, evaluate your car based on the purpose of a car. Now, what is the purpose of the car? Essentially, the purpose of the car is to efficiently and swiftly get you from point A to B, right? At the end of the day, that's, you know, keep you protected, get you from this place to the next place. That should be the focus of how you evaluate a car. But secondly, that how I spend my time, my energy, my budget should be on optimizing the purpose of the car, right? Instead, what I was doing is spending all my time, all my energy, evaluating the car based on the accessories when I should have been focused on what was under the hood. And I think often, as foolish as that was for me, sometimes in American Christianity, we do something far more foolish with something that's far greater in importance when it comes to God's church. I think often what we see in American culture is that Christians are spending their time evaluating a church, whether you're going to go to a church or not, based on the accessories of the church and not what's really at the center of it, the purpose of the church, what's under the hood of the church. That we spend a lot of our time and our energy and our budget and our focus on the accessories of the church and not enough time on what the engine of the church is, under what's under the hood of the church. Do we evaluate the local church based on its purpose for existing? Are we caught up in the accessories? Now, the accessories can be nice. It's good to have a style of worship and to have certain things, you know, decorations and a certain style in our building and different programs that we like, right? Those are fine. But is that the purpose of the church? Or do those things connect to the purpose of the church? Are we focusing our time, our energy, our budget on making sure God's church is accomplishing its purpose? So the obvious question, the essential question that we need to answer is, what is the purpose of the church? Right? If we're going to talk about the spending our time, how we spend the time, we need to know what is the purpose of the church. I mean, have you thought about that recently? You thought, why do we come here? Why do we worship here? Why do we come here every Sunday? Why do we have Sunday school? And why do we have kids ministries and youth ministries? Why do we do outreaches in the community? Why do we have programs inside the church to meet needs for people? What are we doing here anyway? So that's what we want to spend the next 3 weeks talking about in a series that we're calling Brandywine Valley Vision 2016. We want to ask the question, why are we here as a church? And refocus, repurpose, realign ourselves with the mission. And it is my goal that every single person who calls Brandywine Valley their church home, every person who's considering making this their church home, would get to know clearly what this church is about, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. All right, so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. Now, to know the purpose of the local church, why we're here, we need to ask the question of what is the purpose of the capital C church? What is it that God has in mind for his church? You know, when Jesus gave his disciples their marching orders, he gave them in a very clear way, in a text concisely that we call the Great Commission, and that's in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We'll be taking a look at that. And the marching orders for why the church would exist, what his disciples would be doing, the same kinds of things that he told his disciples on that day apply to us as his disciples now here in 2016. And so we'll be taking a look at that over the next 3 weeks, actually. This will be our anchor passage that we'll be looking at. Now, let me give you a little context of the Great Commission. Jesus spent his ministry under very clear marching orders. Jesus Christ himself, the God-man wrapped in flesh, was under marching orders from the Father. He had specific mission that the Father would have him accomplish, and that mission was twofold. The first one was to clear a way to salvation, to get his people to the Father. So he came on a salvation mission. Mark 10:45 gives us very clearly, it tells us that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. He was here for one purpose. That purpose was to clear a path for salvation. He did that by accomplishing his work on the cross, his atoning work, the payment for our sins, his substitutionary work in dying in our place, taking upon the wrath of God for himself instead of us in our place. He did that on the cross. He rose again from death in the resurrection, showing his power over death, guaranteeing our resurrection. And so this mission was to clear the way so that everyone who came to Christ and believing in Christ would have a way to the Father and salvation. His second mission, the second part of that mission, was to establish the church. So he came not only to prepare a way for salvation, but to establish the church. Jesus, with his disciples, in Matthew 16, 17 to 20, tells them that this group of people would become the church, that they would establish the church. And he says that on this rock, on the rock of the confession of Peter, is what I believe he's saying there, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, on this rock, that he would build the church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, when Jesus talks about the church, we need to understand a little bit about what the church is. And so let me give you the quickest theology of the church that maybe you've ever had, right? The church is not a particular institution. The church is not a building. The church is a people. The church, the ecclesia, are the called out ones, the gathered together, the called out ones, and they're gathered out from the world, set apart for a specific purpose. And so the ecclesia, the church, are a group of people. And when we use the term church, we use it in a capital C term, and we use it in a lowercase c term. And so let's just talk about those briefly. When we say capital C church, we're talking about the universal church. The universal church are all the believers who've come to Christ, right, throughout history and in every location. Right? That is the capital C church, the universal church throughout the world, throughout history, who have placed their faith in Christ and follow him. That is the church. It was begun at Pentecost, and it will go until the day in which God raptures the church in the great day. Now, also, we use the term Lower C church. And when we say Lower C church, we often are talking about the local church. And the local church is a group of Christians that gather together under local organization and leadership. Here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, we do that through a deacon board who leads the affairs of the church, and a ministry leadership team, a pastoral team that is looking after the shepherding responsibility of the church and the staff. From there, we're a congregational church, meaning that the congregation, you as members, get to vote on some of the key aspects of the church, on the leadership, on the direction of the church, right? So that is how we organize ourselves, but the local church is organized under leadership and are committed to carrying out the mission of the church, the great commission, if you would, of the church. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to build my church, the gates of hell will not overcome the church, he was saying that both the universal church and the local church, that he will be the head of that church, and he will be the one that makes sure the church carries out its mission until the day in which Jesus returns. And so leading up to Jesus' resurrection, we see his whole ministry is in the four Gospels, is 3 years of preparation. We're all about accomplishing his mission, both to prepare a way of salvation and to build his church. That's what all his time was spent doing. He taught his disciples. He prepared his disciples. He foretold of his death and his resurrection. And he told people why he was there. And then when he died and he rose again 3 days later, he spent the next 40 days on earth verifying his resurrection and through many witnesses. And then he goes and gives his marching orders to his disciples. And he says this in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so this great commission are the marching orders for us today. And what we see here is with the authority, the leadership, the power, the very resources of God, Jesus Christ, his presence, that his church on earth is called to a mission of evangelism, sharing the message of Jesus to people everywhere, right? Making disciples, baptizing, and of discipleship, helping people to learn how to follow Jesus, right? So you can take the whole Great Commission and narrow them down to two functions of really the same process, work of evangelism and work of discipleship. That the ministry of God's people, the ministry of the church, should really be a ministry of helping people understand who Jesus is and helping them follow him. And that is essentially, friends, where we get the mission here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. It's why we have a simplified version of the Great Commission to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to help them follow him. I wonder if you just say that with me, right? So the mission of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church is to introduce people to Jesus Christ and help them follow him. That, friends, is why this church exists. For this reason, and that means as your senior pastor, my job here as the church, which you should essentially be evaluating me on, is this mission. How are we doing at accomplishing this mission? The deacon board, the ministry leadership team, the staff, the leaders, our job is to do our best we can, led by the Holy Spirit and with Jesus as the head of the church, to focus our time, our energy, our ministries, our programs, our relationships, our budget, our resources on this mission of both evangelism and discipleship. And this ought to be, friends, when we look under the hood of Brandywine Valley, this should be the engine of this church. This mission of evangelism and discipleship, the Great Commission, should be the engine that that flows out into everything else that we do here in the church. Our focus ought not to be on the accessories, right? It needs to be on the mission. And so in order to accomplish this mission, we've been in a process here at Brandywine before I got here of creating a clear pathway that you now all know is know, grow, and go. This clear pathway, or the handholds, if you would, to help us to accomplish this mission. And each of these terms encapsulates an aspect of the Great Commission. So just real quickly, let me share what those are with you. The first one, know him. We get that from the Great Commission where it says to make disciples and to baptize them. This is the first part of the Great Commission, to introduce people to Christ, to help people understand who he is, to have a public profession of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it is our goal here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church that we would be a lighthouse to the Brandywine Valley, that this church would be used as a lighthouse to the Brandywine Valley, that people would have an encounter with the living Jesus Christ, that they would come to know him, that they would have a relationship with him. It's one of the reasons we exist, and that's one of the goals that we have as a church. The second is to grow in him. We get this in the Great Commission, to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. Our job, our goal, is to make sure as a church that we would be a greenhouse, not only a lighthouse, but a greenhouse in the Brandywine Valley. That as people come in here, that they are nurtured and cared for in an environment that would help them grow their roots deep in the faith, that they have an unshakable faith, that we'd be a church that's carrying out the one another passages of the New Testament in loving one another, supporting one another, grieving one another, with one another, and in fact, supporting and bearing one another's burdens in love. That we'd be a greenhouse here in the Brandywine Valley. And then thirdly, to go with him. Great Commission says that go, therefore, and make disciples. That term is actually while going. While you're on your way, make disciples. And so it is our job to go and make disciples of all nations. And so not only should we be a lighthouse, not only should we be a greenhouse, but thirdly, we need to be a powerhouse. We need to be a powerhouse in the Brandywine Valley, that this church should constantly have a powerful sending impulse into the community, like sound waves rippling through the Brandywine Valley and out to our Judea and our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That as we go out into the world, that we would be equipping one another here to be sent, equipping one another to be serving the needs in this community, to be sharing the message of the gospel wherever our feet touch and wherever God tells us to go. So we exist to be a lighthouse, we exist to be a greenhouse, and we exist to be a powerhouse. So the rest of the time, what we have here today, I want to just spend time looking at our goal of knowing him, of being a lighthouse. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be a greenhouse, how we're going to accomplish that, and how we're going to accomplish being a powerhouse here in 2016. So let's talk just for a little bit about, in the first half of the year, what it's going to look like. What are our goals around helping people come to know Christ? How are we going to be a lighthouse in the community? I have five goals, five key things that we're going to focus on, particularly in the first half of the year. The first one is that we want to focus on preaching the gospel clearly and compassionately. We're going to preach the gospel clearly and compassionately. You know, Romans 10:14, Paul says this very clearly. He says, how then can they call on the one in whom they haven't believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? See, friends, if people are going to come to know who Christ is, the gospel must be preached. And we're not going to assume here that everybody coming in this door already has a personal relationship with Christ. We're not going to assume that no one here needs to hear the gospel. Listen, you know what part? What the Christian life is to me is hearing and applying the gospel over and over and over again. That's really the Christian life, is living out the gospel in every aspect of our life. And so what we want to do is for anybody who comes in here, that virtually every time that they're here, that the gospel would be preached clearly, compassionately, with anticipation that the Holy Spirit is going to do the work as we preach the gospel. Because the gospel, as it says in Romans, it is the power unto salvation for all who believe. See, it's not in eloquence, it's not in programs, right? It's in the power of the gospel for salvation, and that's what we believe as a church. That's why we want to embed the gospel in our worship music, so as you're listening to the words, as you're singing the words, that the gospel is resounding throughout this place. We're going to embed the gospel in our preaching. We're going to embed the gospel in all the resources that we have here as a church. So we're going to embed the gospel in our ministries and our programs, so everything that we do here oozes the gospel. Secondly, another key that we're going to be focusing on is we want to create accessible next steps. We want to take away the barriers for people to hear the gospel. We want to take away barriers for people to be able to make a decision. We want to have a very clear way that anybody coming in this church can know, this is my next step. If I want to, you know, discover more about what I believe, if I'm a skeptic and I need to wrestle through the claims of Christianity and the Bible and all these other things, if I'm new to the faith and I need to know, okay, what do I do now? I believe the gospel. Where do I go? If I'm new to the church and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's my next step? That we have a clear pathway to do that. And so one of the ways that we're going to do that, and this is something you, if you get our newsletter, you probably already knew was coming, but we've been clearing the space over here. It used to be a library space, and we'll be developing a resource library downstairs where that's going to have a lot of resource material for small group leaders and anybody who's looking to study more about the faith or prepare a Bible study or whatever that might be. But we're going to use that space as a connection cafe that's going to be launching January 24th. And that is going to be a one-stop shop, if you would, for anyone in this church looking to take a next step. So whether it's I'm a skeptic, I'm trying to, you know, see if I really even believe any of this is true, or I'm seeking, I need to know what the gospel is, or I'm a new believer and I'm looking for the next resource, I don't quite know where to go, or hey, I'm new to this church, I want to get plugged in, or you want to serve in some capacity, that there's one place that you know where to go to be able to, in a relational way, in an easy, accessible way, be able to get connected to your next step. And so we want to ask if there's some of you out there that say, man, I want to be sort of on that front lines of sharing the gospel with people. I want to be on the front lines of helping connect people and make this a hospitable place where people can take their next step. If that's something you're passionate about, I want you to get involved in the Connection Cafe. I want you to volunteer there. I want you to help be a tour guide, if you would, to get people more involved here at this church. And so we hope that as you come to learn more about that, that you would want to be involved in that process to lead people to their next steps here as a church. The third thing that we're going to focus on, the third key, is to provide classes for people to encounter Christ. Now, this isn't something new. We've been doing this here at Brandywine Valley for a number of years, but we really want to focus more intentionally on those who are coming in or skeptical, those who are coming in that are new or seeking, that we have in those next steps for them just a great place for them to encounter Christ, to have a lot of their barriers discussed, to be able to have dialogue about their thorny, difficult questions. That this wouldn't be a place that just had pat answers and told them they just need to believe, but this is a place where relationally they can dialogue and be loved in that process of discovering the gospel and discovering Christ. We want to have that kind of place here. So we're going to be working. I'm going to be working with Carl and the teams and the leaders to make sure that we have those kinds of places here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. The fourth key, one of the things that we're going to be focused on to help people know Christ, that this place would be a lighthouse, is that we want to become the best place in the Brandywine Valley to invite a friend who doesn't know Christ. We want to be the best place to invite somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. You know, church should be a place for you where you feel like, man, I want to come on Sunday. I want to be here. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Sunday because I get to be renewed and energized. I'm going to be people that I love. I'm going to get to be encouraged in my faith. And we want you to be so excited about your church and what God is doing here that you just can't help but to tell other people. You know, think about the last thing that you bought that you've been just so excited about. Maybe it was a new phone. Maybe it was a car. Maybe it was, you know, a new tool, right, guys? Or whatever it was you were excited about, my guess is when you bought that or you were thinking about buying it, you told pretty much everybody that you knew in your life how excited you were about that tool or about that car or about that new phone that you got or whatever it might be, right? We tend to talk and bubble over to the people that we know, the things that we love, right? Shouldn't that be true of our faith? Shouldn't that be true of Christ? Shouldn't that be true of this church that you just can't help but to say, man, I love my church. I love the people there. I love what we're about as a church. I want you to be a part of that. We don't want to make that difficult for you to do. We want to make that exciting for you to do. And that you can be confident that when you bring a friend here, when you bring a coworker, when you bring a neighbor, when you bring a family member here, that they're going to encounter people from you know, parking lot to pew who love them, who are hospitable, who care about them, who show the love of Christ, and that when they hear powerful worship experience and they know that the gospel is going to be preached in a loving, relevant way that's going to reach them where they are. That is our goal. That's what we want to be as a church. We want this place to be an authentic place, a biblical place. We want this to be a place that's safe for hurting and broken people coming in from any walks of life. We're also going to do special events throughout the year so that it's a place where the people that you're investing in, you can invite them who might not be willing to come on a Sunday to things that we're doing here as a church. We hope that this place becomes the best place in Brandywine Valley to invite a friend. And then the last thing that we're going to do to help build this place into a lighthouse is we want to be able to share stories of transformed lives by Christ. We want to be able to share the stories of what God is doing in and among our congregation to show what the power of the gospel involved in people's lives. I have a friend, Dave Young, back in D.C. Dave used to come to our church, and Dave, when he was there at church for the first 5 years, he came to church. He was not a Christian. He's kind of a skeptic. And he would sit in the back, in the balcony. That's not to say about anything about you guys. But he used to sit in the back, in the balcony, with his arms crossed. And he did that for years. Sometimes he didn't even know why he'd come. He'd just come, and he'd show up, and he'd sit in the balcony, and then he'd leave. He'd be the last one to get there and the first one to leave. And he heard the gospel over and over and over again. I'll tell you what. You know what changed things for him? One time he heard the testimony of a girl who came out of addictions that she didn't know she could ever overcome. She met Christ. She had an encounter with him through the gospel. She knew she could receive forgiveness. She had a new power to overcome things, and she testified to the power of Christ in her life. Everything changed for him in that moment. He came to Christ. After years of hearing the gospel preached, it was a story about the evidence of the gospel in a girl's life that led him to Christ. He's probably now one of the most godly men I know. He was actually a disciple. He's a guy who discipled me, and he's doing amazing things with the gospel now. Listen, friends, we need to be equipped to be able to share our story, but we need to be able to share the story here. We need to have people come up and share, hey, here's what God's done in my life, because there's people that are going to be out there, and you never know how that's going to reach other people. You know, to that end, I'm just going to have a little testimony now. thank you, Darth, for that testimony of the power of God. That's the kind of thing we want to be about as a church. You know, sometimes churches can have good intentions, you know? Then they start to get fuzzy on the mission. There's churches that get caught up in the accessories and stop maintaining the hood, you know, what's under the hood. And these churches inevitably end up being either country clubs or museums. You know, you go to Europe sometime and cry as you see churches that have fallen away from God and now are either museums or nightclubs. That's what happens. It's a slow creep away from maintaining what's under the hood. We need to be focused on the mission here. And friends, every church is susceptible to it. Brandywine Valley is susceptible to it. I'm susceptible. Our leaders are susceptible to it if we get off of maintaining our business under the hood, the mission of God. And I want you to evaluate your own activity here at Brandywine Valley. Are you maintaining? Are you using your time, your energy, your talents, your gifts, your money, your budget to maintain what's under the hood? Is that what you're about here? Because that's what we want to be about as a church. I hope that gets you excited. I hope that makes you want to be more intricately involved in this church, to get all in, right? To commit yourself. If you're kind of on the periphery of this church, I hope you want to take your next step and get involved. We got a membership class coming up next week. It's at 5 o'clock. It's in my office. Come on Sunday. That would be a great next step for you to learn more about what it means to get involved in this church. Become a member here at this church. Take your next step. Get involved. We want to see you putting your time, your energy, your talents, your money into maintaining and advancing the mission here at Brandywine Valley. And I'll close with what Hudson Taylor said. Hudson Taylor, great missionary, said, "God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply." Listen, friends, if we are maintaining and we are about the mission of God, He will make sure that the resources are always there to be about His business. Let's pray. Father, we want to be people whose hearts are encapsulated and enraptured and excited about the mission of God. That, Lord, we be people who are not caught up in the accessories, Lord. There's nothing wrong with those things, but, Lord, that we are about the business of evangelism and discipleship. Lord, help us as a church to go forward, advancing your name, advancing the gospel, teaching people to obey everything that you have commanded, knowing that you will be with us always to the very end. Help us to be those kind of people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a few announcements.